Please stand for the gospel. You can follow along on page 683 in your pew Bible. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Last week, the Gospel according to John invited the first disciples to come and see. Today's story is similar but different, and we'll get to that. But for now, we should take a closer look at Matthew, because there are a number of key points in this text which, if scanned too quickly, might be overlooked. First, we have the information that John has been arrested. It's almost like a news flash, sort of a ticker screen on the bottom. John is in jail. Well, so what? It seemed to happen a lot in the ancient world, and especially with some of our more controversial biblical personalities. Now, instead of going to visit John in jail or posting bail, Jesus retreats to Galilee. And this is such an important moment in this gospel, and it's one of those scenes that could really easily be overlooked. This is the moment when the rubber hits the road for Jesus' ministry. John fades into the background, and Jesus becomes the one who has come. Richard Donovan writes that John is a pivotal figure, the last of the old and the introducer of the new. So when John is arrested and removed from the scene, this is a theological cue that the time has come, that the tectonic plates have shifted and the earthquake of the promised messianic age has begun to shake the very foundations of the world. The movement had begun. Some might think that Jesus is avoiding arrest by withdrawing to Galilee, but Herod was ruler of Galilee too, so that's not what's going on here. Our clue about what is happening is in verse 14. Jesus went to Galilee so that what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Most of Jesus' teaching and preaching and healing ministries will happen in Galilee, and his return will be to Galilee after his resurrection. Galilee of the Gentiles, as Isaiah called it. Then in verse 17, we get this hinge for you literary people out there. It's this piece which connects the past and the present and the future. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This isn't language that we're used to hearing Jesus speak. This is kind of fire and brimstone stuff. This is the stuff of John the Baptist. But perhaps these first words mimic John the Baptist to demonstrate that Jesus was the one who John prepared the way for. And when Jesus says those first words of his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," This is the beginning of his radical message for all people. This is it. This is his inaugural address. That God is ruler, and when God's kingdom comes, the poor and lowly will be lifted up, the voices of the oppressed and the marginalized will be heard, sins will be forgiven, and the captives will be set free. Jesus then makes a bold move to appoint cabinet members, not from the rich or powerful, but from the sea. Fishermen were the first that he picked. The world might be full of darkness, but Jesus began to shine a light. He says, repent, but he also says, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Follow me. There's work to be done. As one colleague noted, God's new regime isn't about fame or profits. It's about healing the sick and raising the dead. That's a lot of work. Now, let's back up for just a second. These fishermen, they had lives and wives and fathers. They were told to drop everything and follow Jesus. And they did it. It says immediately even, without hesitation. Drop everything and join me, Jesus says. How did they know that Jesus was the one who said he was? I mean, if I hear someone yelling at me on a street corner, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, I'm going to take extra caution and walk on the other side of the street. I am not going to drop everything and follow that person. There must have been something about Jesus that got them on the hook. So I wonder this morning, and take just a moment, when did you know that you were hooked by Christ? And the pun is totally intended there. Think about it. When did you feel the gospel of Jesus Christ so deeply that you would drop everything to follow him? I imagine that most of our call stories began long before that moment. We are first called when we are baptized. God calls us by name and claims us as God's own. In baptism, God's beloved children, us, we make promises to the church and to the wider community and the one being baptized. We do this time and time again to live among God's faithful people, to proclaim Christ through word and deed, to care for others and the world that God made, and to work for peace and justice. These are not empty promises. These are our answers to God when we are called. This movement that Jesus began when he called those first disciples into the beloved community, this is what he was asking them to do, and this is the work that we are called to do each and every day of our lives. The ante is really being upped for these first disciples in today's text. Not just come and see, but come and experience. When Jesus tells them that he will teach them to fish for people, he's telling them that he will teach them to lead the movement, the one of radical hospitality and love, a movement which ministered to crowds and proclaimed the Beatitudes. Drop everything and follow me. A movement which named God's people salt of the earth and told us to let our light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. A movement which healed the sick and raised the dead. Drop everything and follow me. Now, I told you that today's text was similar but different to last week's. Last week we were given sort of a pecking order of these new disciples. One was called before the other, and in today's text, the first two were called at the same time. This came up in our Tuesday afternoon Bible study, a Bible study which more of you should come to. We have a fantastic time. Anyway, this question was raised. Why are these two accounts different? And I suppose I could have gone into, and I could go into with you, into the nuances about the gospel texts and their differences and the varying communities that they were written for. But instead it occurred to me that maybe those details aren't what counts. It doesn't matter who was called first. What matters is that when they were called, they answered. Immediately, they followed Jesus without hesitation and learned to spread the message of hope and love and grace that we have inherited as 21st century Christians. Ordinary people, fishermen, with ordinary lives, changed the world. And they're still changing the world. We're still changing the world and spreading the message of love. I don't know about you, but when I logged onto Facebook yesterday afternoon and I saw all those photos of the hundreds of thousands of people who were coming together proclaiming light and love in a peaceful manner, I was hopeful. I was hopeful for the first time in a long time. We need more of that in this world. Think of that movement, which started so long ago. It started with Jesus and a couple fishermen. Look at what they accomplished. Imagine what we could do today, many, 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 many generations of disciples later. Drop everything and join Jesus. He'll show you that ordinary folks, like me and you, can do extraordinary things. Amen.